going to preach on this subject today about godly motherhood and the importance of influence. So take your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And one last time, let's stand back up. Let's read God's word and we'll let you down, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And Paul tells Timothy in these verses, "I am reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." Let's pray together. Father, as we get into your word, thank you for the word that's just been sung and proclaimed through worship. Lord, I pray that as we preach and teach your word, Lord, that you would use your word to penetrate hearts today. Lord, I pray you would speak to us all here in this room to where we can leave this place different, changed, more in love with you, Jesus, the Son of God. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can have a seat. Man, we thank God for moms. We thank God for moms and grandmas who love the Lord and love our children and our grandchildren. Right, men? We thank the Lord for them. Amen. You guys are awake. I like that. First service, they didn't catch that one. They got in trouble. But y'all are good. You're going to stay on top of it. That's good. We thank the Lord for moms and for grandmothers. And today, we don't want to understand and look at the life of a young guy named Timothy. If you know the New Testament, you know a little bit about Timothy. Timothy was raised primarily by his mother and his grandmother. But ultimately, he had a father, but he was more of a Greek, so he really wasn't in that Christian influence sphere. So we can't really, for sure determine that, but by scriptural evidence and historical evidence, we see that Timothy really didn't have a godly influence from a father's perspective. And so that's why I think Paul writes here in this chapter, in this verse, it says, "Listen, Timothy, remember the faith that you first had from that was given to you, that was indwelt in you." Not that he didn't do anything to get it from them, but he had to be saved himself. But his mother and his grandmother poured the word of God into him. And I want you to know this morning the influence that you have as a mom and the influence you have as a grandmother in different roles and perspectives over your children's life. Because you see the influence of a mom and a grandmother on a young guy named Timothy. And Timothy gave his life to Jesus. And then one day, the Apostle Paul, whom Jesus changed his life, which, by the way, Paul was a murderer. He was a thief. He was out to kill, and you know what Jesus did? Jesus showed up and changed his life. And you know what? Here it's Mother's Day. Jesus can show up and change your life today. Did you know that? Jesus can save anybody, anywhere, at any time, in any way. Amen. He can do that for you. You may be here because your mama drug you to church. That's okay. Jesus can save you too. We all can be saved. All of us can know Jesus Christ. So today, I want you to listen to what God wants to say to you, not just to your mom and not just to your grandmother, but maybe to you as well. You say, "I'm not a mom. I'm good." That's good. You recognize that. But God can still speak to your heart today as well. We thank God for moms. Moms know a lot of things that dads don't. This is going to be an interesting service, isn't it, Miss Kimber? This mom was walking down the street one day, and she had her little daughter there, and they were going down the street, and her little daughter went down, and she found some dirt there and a little worm, and she picked it up, and she began to play around with that, and then she took those hands and that nasty hand, and she put it in her mouth. And her mama said, "What are you doing, sweetheart? What are you doing?" She goes, "Well, I just thought, we don't do that." She said, "Well, why?" And that mama looked down and said, "Because that's got germs all over it. And you don't want to put that stuff in your hand and then turn around and put it in your mouth. That's gross. You can't do that." She looked up at her mama and said, "Mama, how do you know that? How do you know all these things to do?" She goes, "Well, it's just a," she goes, "do you have some kind of a test you have to do?" And she goes, "Yeah, that's right. I have a mommy test. And I got to pass all these things." And she said, "Well, so if you pass all this stuff, you become a mommy. Is that right? You know all these things?" She says, "Yeah, that's right." She goes, "What happens if you don't pass the test? You become a daddy, right?" And she said, "Yeah, you're right. You become a daddy." We thank the Lord. Mamas know a lot of stuff. Mamas can do things that daddies sometimes just can't do. And we admit that here today on Mother's Day, all right? You're one day, we're going to admit that and confess it in church. Mamas know a lot of things. I'll admit it all the time. I know there's a lot of things mama can do that I cannot do. And we thank the Lord for you being here. But I want you to see, and I want you to write down this phrase. Rules without a relationship equal rebellion. Rules without relationship equal rebellion. I think oftentimes so many parents, and rightly so, want to just shove the Word of God down our children's throats sometimes, and I understand the importance of that. I know the verses in Proverbs. I know the verses that say, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not likewise there depart. I know those verses, and those are good verses. But what I see oftentimes from a pastor's perspective is a lot of parents doing a lot of rules without a relationship. And I want you to know it's important for you as a mom, you as a grandma, to have a relationship with those children and to love those children, because I think that's exactly what Timothy had. I think Timothy was a young boy who was insecure and scared. I see a lot of my childhood in Timothy. I grew up insecure and scared. And I think Timothy was raised primarily by his grandma and his mom. But they taught him the Word of God from the time he was a young boy to the time he gave his life to Jesus and he met a man named the Apostle Paul. And Paul was planting churches. He was on a missionary journey, and God linked them up in God's providence. But I think that there would not be that divine moment between a young guy named Timothy and a man named Paul had it not been for a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And I want you to know that you could have the next tremendous influencer of the kingdom of God in your home. It's a scary thought, isn't it? It's a weird thought. But you could have the next someone who is influential like Billy Graham. Do you know the reason Billy Graham gave his life to Jesus? Because his mama told him to go to revival. His mama said, there's a preacher in town named Mordecai Hamm, and you're going to go hear him. And that's exactly what he did. So we think a lot about Dr. Billy Graham, but really, Billy Graham's mama had a tremendous influence on that night that changed the life of Billy Graham, who in turn has preached the gospel all over the world. Billy Graham had a mama, and Billy Graham's mama said, you're going to revival. We need to thank God for our moms and their incredible influence. Billy Graham's mama had an influence on him as a teenager, and I think young Timothy had a tremendous influence from his mama and his grandma. What can we do to have that relationship with our children? Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, all that I am and all that I ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. That's a Hallmark card. I ain't seen it yet, but it should be on one. Listen. All that I am and all that I ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. One of the greatest presidents of our country and leaders said that about his own mother. And read John Wesley, read about his mother, read about all the great men of God who've come before us and generations behind, and see the power and the George Whitefield, Calvin, so many of those great men of God had wonderful moms who taught them the scriptures all the way up, but they didn't just teach them the Word of God, they had a relationship with them as well. Five things I want to share with you this morning about how you as a mom, you as a grandma, can have a godly motherhood influential life with your children. Number one, by loving them. By loving them. We are called to love our children, to love them, to pour our life into them. Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 20. Now, I know this is about a dad. It's not Father's Day, but this applies to us all. All right, so just hang with me. Dad, your day is coming next month, but today is Mother's Day. But listen, Luke 15, the Bible says about the son who went wayward, said this, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. He said, please take me on as a hired servant. You see the brokenness and the humility that this boy comes back with. He left very prideful and very haughty and very arrogant, and he's broken and repentant, and he comes back and very humbly. He says, Lord, Father, I'll even work. I don't care. I just want to come home. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. You know what his father did? Here's what it says. He filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He ran to his son. Listen to what it says. He embraced him, and what did he do? He kissed him. He embraced him, and then he kissed him. It's a good thing to hug your children. Anybody here hug their kids? That's a good thing. You say, well, that's obvious. Do you know how many children go to bed every night without a hug? You know how many children don't have that love in their home? They go to bed alone. They go to a cold room with no one there to pray with them, with no one there to hug them, with nobody there to love them. And oftentimes, there will be parents who say they love Jesus, but it never transfers to their children. And Jesus said, listen, he rebuked the disciples, he rebuked the crowds. He says, listen, you must come to me with childlike faith. Jesus said, let the little ones come to me. Children are very, very important. Not just impressionable, but they're very, very important. And you and I, you as a mom, as a grandma, need to love those children and embrace them. It's good to hug them. It's good to do that in front of the children. Mom and dad, it's good to hug each other in front of the kids. It's good to hold hands in front of the kids. It's good to give a little kiss in front of the kids. But that's it. Don't go any farther, all right? But it's good to do that. They should walk in the kitchen going, what is dad and mom doing? You know what I mean? Like, they need to see mom and dad embracing. And then they need to see you embrace them. Back in the 90s, there was a popular phrase called hugs, not drugs. Listen, Pastor James has preached faithfully this on this side, on that side as well. If you, he's not here to replace you. He's here to come alongside of you. And if you don't hug your daughter, somebody else will. And if you don't raise your son, somebody else will. You got to be involved in your kids' lives. You got to love on them. And we know all the statistics that talk about young girls who don't have a dad influence and a mom's influence to love on them and care for them, how they turn out to be. Children need to feel that affection and that love. Hug your children. Love them that way. Not just by hugging, but by blessing your children. Bless them. Treat them well. But also listen to your children. That's the way you can love them, by hugging them, affection, by blessing them, by listening to them. Always say, God has given us two ears and one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. What would happen if we just listened to our children more? There will be those moments they're going to come and things are just not right and things happen and they cry and they think that the world has stopped to spin because their Barbie doll has lost her clothes. Or maybe the fish has walked in and we've seen the fish belly up in that little tank. And maybe sometimes this has happened and that's happened. And sometimes as parents, when tragedies happen, we cry with them. But we need to understand to stop and not just take those little things lightly, but to take them seriously with them and to get down on their level and to listen to them. How many children don't feel respected because mom and dad just don't listen to them at all? You know, every once in a while, you'll get some really good wisdom out of the mouth of a babe, the Bible says. Moms and grandmas today, how are you loving your children? Are you hugging them? Are you blessing them? Are you listening to them? Fourth, are you praying for them? Are you praying for them? Do you know one of the most important and influential roles you can have as a mom and as a grandma is to pray for your children? I've shared this before and I'll share it again today. When I went back to Memphis several years ago and my grandmother showed me in her Bible where I think the year, I can't remember specifically, but I think it was 1984. And she wrote down this day in her Bible where she said, this is the day I prayed for you. My grandma prayed for me. And I believe one of the reasons why I'm here today is the influential prayer of my grandmother. And my grandma prayed for me that day, and she made a a covenant with the Lord to keep praying for me and for the day that I would trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and God would use me in whatever capacity he wanted. Listen, never underestimate the power of prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Pray for your children and pray for your grandchildren. Number two, not just by loving them, but by lifting them. You need to lift your children to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 says, don't aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. They'll aggravate you, but you don't aggravate them. Don't aggravate them. Don't provoke them. And man, that's so hard sometimes as parents. There's days that are tough and they're long days. But we need to understand that we need to lift our children to the Lord. There's a difference between praise and encouragement. Sometimes when we praise our children, we teach them that praise is based off of performance, and it shouldn't be. We say, because you've done this, then you will get that. And there's a time for rewards, but we need to encourage our children in times of failure, in times of adventures, that things that don't turn out that way. That's when they really need you to encourage them. Timothy was shy. We read in the scriptures, he was timid, he was shy, he lacked faith and power and strength. He was kind of one of those guys who was more in the background. But listen, God used him powerfully, and I believe he used his mother and his grandmother in a tremendous role in his life. And I think Timothy's mom and I think Timothy's grandma loved him and lifted him to the Lord on a daily basis. Number three, limiting them. All children need limits. Amen. Yesterday, my wife was gone for a while doing just, you know, mom's thing and relaxing, whatever. And so I had the kids. They survived. It was a good day. But I took them to the Y. We swam. We hung out for a while. And then I took them somewhere, and they may or maybe not have had some caffeine for lunch. They may or may not have had a chocolate bar for a snack. But, you know, things were going good. And, man, they were kind of chilled out, relaxed, kind of calm. And then mom came home last night. And things were great. Man, we got flowers. It was good. But then all of a sudden, something snapped in my children. I don't know what it was. But just imagine the Tasmanian devil and put their heads on top of it. I don't know. Something happened in my house where they were just running all over. And I was like, I don't know. You know when the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out? It happened to me last night. So we're going to bed last night, getting ready for bath time. And all of a sudden, my son, my firstborn, yells out upstairs, guess what, Mom? Dad gave me Dr. Pepper for lunch today. Yeah, it was a great night. It was a good night. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, and so he says he loves me, but sometimes I wonder about that when he says things like that. And we need limits. Maybe it was the Inca Kola last weekend and the DP this weekend. Maybe it's a bad combination. I don't know what was going on. Kids need limits. We need one thing of Dr. Pepper for the whole year. That's all we need at our house for our kids. We need limits and boundaries. You know, in Adam and Eve in the garden, God gave them a limit. And what did they do? They went beyond a limit that God gave them. And what happened? Sin entered the world. Listen, it's okay for you as a mom and a grandma to have boundaries and limitations for your children. If you love them, you will do that. The Bible actually says in Hebrews that those whom the Lord loves, what does he do? He chastens. He disciplines. There's a time and a place, mom, to love your children and grandma to love your grandchildren enough. So as Pastor Jerry McQueen says, take the board, see that. What is it, Pastor?
Board of Education to the seat of understanding.
There it is, right there. The Board of Education to the seat of understanding. There's a time for conversation and there's time for no conversation. And we understand we need to have limitations as a parent and as a grandparent and love them that way. We need to understand that we need to limit them. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13. You remember the story of Eli and his sons and how God was going to bring judgment upon his household because he did not love them enough to discipline them and limit them. Write down 1 Samuel 3:13. This is a prophecy from the Lord to Samuel the prophet. He says here, I have warned him, talking about Eli, I've warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't what? Discipline them. He hasn't limited them. As mom and as grandma, you have a relationship with your children. Love them and lift them. But number three, limit them. It's okay to do those things. It's healthy and it's biblical. Number four, lead them. Lead them. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, direct your children. Some translations in the Hebrew says to train your children. It's the word we get for model, to lead by example. Not so much just in word, but really in deed and what we do with our children. Mom, can I ask you a question? What kind of mother do your children see you being during the day? What kind of mom do they see at church? Do they see a different mom at church than they see during the week? Do they see a Sunday mom and a during the week mom? Or do they see a mom who is on Sunday who she is during the week? Do they see a difference or do they see the same? What kind of model do you have for your children as a mom? You have tremendous influence and tremendous power here to be with your children as much as you possibly can and to love them and to instruct them. But what are you doing to them with your behavior and your actions? Are you leading them? Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. They listen so much to mom. They listen so much to you. Man, when we were leaving Walmart yesterday, me and Caden checked out. We had got all the stuff that we needed, and we were going to be on our way. And then we checked out, and my little Abigail stood right in the middle of that place, and we were trying to walk out. And she said, Mommy doesn't leave that way. And I said, what? She goes, Mommy doesn't go that way. And Caden goes, yes, she does. I was like, yeah, Caden, you tell her. You tell her what's up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's right. She goes, no, she doesn't, Caden. You don't see. And we're like, what are you talking about? You don't see me. And I said, Abby, it's an exit. It's an exit. You know what I mean? There's the car. It's an exit. Mommy goes that way. What do you do? I wanted the seat of understanding thing. I wanted that. And I was like, what is going on here? Daddy said, we're going out this way. And that's what we're going to do. And then she kind of, you know, and I said, Caden, it's a life lesson here, son. I said, there's some hills not worth dying on. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk out. And of course, then he was upset with me. He goes, Daddy, you're giving in. I'm like, I'm not giving in. I'm just trying to get to the car. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're trying to get to the car. And so we walk all the way to the opposite end of Walmart, all the way to the front across the thing, to the opposite side of the parking lot to get to our van, because my Abigail said, my mama doesn't go out that way. And we got in the van, and Abigail said, I think it's Caden, and she was talking about the walk, and Caden said, don't say a word, Abby. This is your idea, you know, and that kind of thing. I'm like, let's get home. Chocolate bar, you know. Like, let's get home. And, you know, my Abigail said, Mama goes this way. This is the way we're leaving Walmart. They listen to you. They watch you. I don't know if you go that way or not, but we went that way yesterday. They're watching everything, even the way that you leave Walmart. They see all things. How are you leading them? What are they seeing in you as a mom and as a grandma? Number five, love them, lift them, limit them, lead them. Number five, laugh with them. Laugh with them. You like to have fun? You need to have fun with your kids. It's okay to have fun. You don't have to always be serious and stiff and boring. You know what I'm saying? Have fun with your kids. Jesus said in Luke 6:21, God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. You know what Jesus is saying there? God will bless you with laughter. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to laugh every once in a while. Sometimes you don't laugh in the moment. You laugh when it's over. But there's moments you just kind of, you laugh. You get down and you play with them and you wrestle with them and you're there with them. You see them scrape their knee when they're trying to ride their bike and you love them in those moments and you try to instruct them and guide them and those first moments of trying to learn how to swim and all those things that come and go as a mom and as a grandma. Don't miss it. Billy Graham's mom said, "You're going." Timothy's mom and his grandma said, "This is what you need, Timothy." Do you see the power of influence as a mom and as a grandma that you have? Tremendous power and tremendous influence right there in your own home. Love them. Lead them. Lift them before the Lord. Laugh with them. They're here one day and they're gone the next. How many of you have homes right now that are silent? Because the kids are no longer there. They're gone. Yeah, it's busy. And yeah, it gets crazy. And yeah, there's sleepless nights and all these things that go with it. And it's not always fun. It's work. But it's worth it, isn't it? Your children are a gift from the Lord. The power of influence. You know, Friday, we had our first funeral here at Living Hope. Mr. Kermit Fetters was here, right where I stand. His casket lay here. It was our first ever funeral. And all of his children sat right here on this row. Right there. That was one of Mr. Kermit's last requests. He said, "Pastor, I want to have it at Living Hope." And we honored him. We did that. And all of his children, they got up one by one here on the stage. And they talked about him. They talked about his love, his faith, his kindness. And I sat right over there. And I thought to myself, what kind of influence do I have? And think about this from a mom's perspective. You start to think about, what will they say about you at your funeral? Will they say, "Oh, mom was just always busy. She was always off doing her thing, and I was just around"? Or will they say, "Man, mom was there for me. Mom loved me. Mom prayed for my salvation. Mom was there when I didn't want her to be. Mom was there. Mom was there." Christ is going to come. But either we're going to him or he's coming to us, but it's going to happen. And if Jesus doesn't return one day, that's going to be you and me. We're going to breathe our last. We're going to die. And moms and grandmas, can I ask you this question? What will they say about you? What are they saying about you now? Yeah, life is busy. Man, it's so busy. But think about the power of influence you have right now over your children. To love them, to lead them, to laugh with them, to show them and pour in them the Word of God. It's so important that you pour in them Jesus. Yes, it is so right. Memorize Scripture. Read the Bible. Yes, yes, yes. But it's just as important to have a relationship with those children, to live that out before them. Not just saying it, but actually doing it. Living it out before them. How are you doing in that area? Don't forget the power of influence. Right now, you got a little white card you got when you walked in, that little bulletin. I'm going to ask you, first of all, those of you who've been marking your card for membership, I want to say thank you for doing that. Hopefully, we're going to have a class here pretty soon. But I want to speak to you today if you're here and you're not a Christian. You know, my grandma prayed for me because she was a Christian. She knew Jesus. She was a believer in Jesus. Okay, are you that kind of person today where you are a believer in Jesus Christ? You love him. You're praying for your children. You're praying for your grandchildren because you know him. Are you that kind of woman today? A woman of God, a mother, a grandmother of influence for the Lord. You can be. I don't know where you're at today, but I'm going to ask you to mark your card. Let us know where you're at spiritually, how we can help you. But as we close today and we end this time together in prayer, just think about that. What are your children saying? What are your children thinking? They're watching. They're watching and they're listening. What a testimony would be. What a testimony for your children and your grandchildren to know Jesus because of your influence. Timothy's mom, Timothy's grandma, etched forever in the Word of God because of their influence for him. You have that same opportunity before you. They're here one day and they're gone the next. Don't take it for granted. Let's pray together. Father, as we close today, Lord, I thank you for moms and grandmas like Lois and Eunice, women of God whom we'll never meet until heaven. But Lord, they had an influential part of the life of young Timothy. A young, insecure boy who was led to the scriptures by his mom and grandma. Godly motherhood, godly influence. Lord, there are moms here today. There are grandmas here today, maybe with young Timothys in their home. Maybe with young Billy Grahams in their area of influence. I pray that we would see our children differently today. Blessed is the woman when her children love her. Father, I pray this morning for every mother here, for every grandmother here, that we'll see the power of influence and opportunity before us to love our children, to lift up our children, to lead them, to laugh with them. May we not miss this incredible opportunity before us. If there's anybody here today who does not know you as Savior and Lord, God, I pray that they would, one, understand that they are a sinner, admit their sin, believe that Jesus, you are the Son of God, and they would confess you as Lord today. And they would give their life to you once and for all. And to stop running from the cross and to start running to the cross. As we sing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.